This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
And welcome to Who Are You Wearing, a podcast about style, clothes, and fashion presented by me, comedian and sequin enthusiast, Kiri Pritchard-McLean. Now, each week I sit down and have an in-depth sgwrs, or chat if you're not a Welsh speaker, with an individual who has caught my eye sartorially. Thank you so much for your lovely feedback on episode one of the series. I chatted to Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen, and do you know what I got? A barrage of messages from people who said, is he as nice and fun and lovely as he seems? Yes. And I've also got independent proof of that because on our Instagram, Claire messaged and said, oh, do you know what? I met Lawrence once and he smelled wonderful. His shirt was exquisite. It was a beautiful print, had expensive fabric and incredible cuffs. Also a total gent. So there you go. You don't have to take my word for it. You can take the word of Claire on our Instagram as well. Also, I don't know, Joe might cut this bit out. What do you think, Joe? I think this is a good story. But while we were setting up with the episode for Lawrence and he was being helped out by an individual there, now they didn't know that we could hear them. And they said, don't worry, you are getting paid for this. And he went, darling, not everything's about money. It'll just be a bit of fun. And I thought, that's cool. That's a class act in action. This is episode 2 of series 3. It's with a fascinating, beautiful and stylish singer and broadcaster, Michelle McManus. Now, Michelle appeared in most of our lives, I think, as the winner of Pop Idol. I mean, that was back in the day where everyone watched the same four channels. And shows like Pop Idol, I mean, that is attracting tens of millions of viewers. Since then, she's forged a very successful career in music, broadcasting, and she juggles all of that with being a mum as well. Now, I think Michelle's really creative but pragmatic approach to dressing a plus-size body, well, it makes me want to punch the air with joy. She just won't let herself be denied the joy of fashion and the joy of style. This episode is a real testament as well to having a seamstress or a tailor in your town or village. I mean, that's it. I think that's the key message from this episode. We had such an amazing chat. She's such an open book. We recorded this in July of 2022, but all the way back then. I was crutched up in my cupboard in Wales and Michelle was at home in Scotland. I want to give you a heads up because we do talk about fat phobia in this episode, and I sort of bring up the weaponized language around health and body size, so you're just something to be aware of going into it. I really think our chat about being a mum and how that can alter our relationship with our sense of style is going to resonate with a lot of people listening. It's such a delight as well to talk to any woman my age about the absolute scourge and poison that is women's magazines from the 90s and noughties. They should have come with a health warning, you know, like Sigs have on them now. Ugh, have you? Well, please enjoy this lovely listen with an actual pop princess, because I'm going to ask Michelle McManus, who are you wearing?
I was kind of obsessed with Kylie Minogue and Neighbours growing up. I loved her. I loved her style. I really remember her wedding dress. You remember it was really poofy with kind of lace and stuff like that. But I first became aware of fashion when really, so I never really started gaining weight till I was like, you know, maybe like 9 or 10, and it was that first big leaver school disco in primary school, and I was just trying to get something to wear. And I think then carrying on into my early teens, I really struggled, because even then I was probably about a size 16 or something like that, and it was just, there was nowhere to go. So I remember the only shop I could go to was a shop, I don't even know if there, it was down south, it was What Every Woman Wants, I think it was only in Scotland. And they had like the most incredible clothes, but it was for older women. But it was just like, you know, it was kind of in the 90s, so it was all mood rings and satin shirts and stuff like that. But I remember going to this grown-up shop and being able to get these really cool clothes. And, you know, I remember at the time my friend saying to me, oh my God, I love your top, or I love these leggings, everything you're wearing. And, you know, they'd never heard of this shop because they were like young teenagers. They would never shop somewhere like that. But I remember distinctly being aware of the fact that I loved fashion, but I could never wear what my friends wanted to wear anyway because we were different shapes, you know. But I found this real outlet in this shop, and I managed to find some real wee gems, and that kind of got me through that kind of awkward teenage phase of trying to dress myself.
That is so interesting, because so many people who've like grown up, I mean, what phrase do you prefer, plus size, like what do you, what
oh, anything do you overweight, plus size, it doesn't matter to right. me at all, you know, because that's what it is, it's a fact. But you know, yeah, whatever you wish to use, go for it.
So I think lots of people who've grown up plus size, that you're one of the first people I've spoken to that has a story where it came good for them at a good mm-hmm. at a young age, the fact that you were in this shop and there was all this cool stuff there, and then people are like, oh, where did you get that? And you're not in Tammy Girl with all the other kids wearing exactly the same thing, that you're fashion forward. That is one of the only stories I've heard where it's been a good thing.
Well, it was my wee granny that knew about this shop. I mean, otherwise I would have been in Kylie Fashion and Tammy Girl and all these places and just been really, really struggling, because it wasn't even that it wasn't in my size, it's just I couldn't wear the mini skirts and the short tops and all that kind of stuff, because I mean the 90s was quite cool because it was much more about these kind of plastic block heels, and it was all about your accessories really, and it was the big baggy shirts and stuff like that, so that in itself was a blessing, I think. But weirdly, as I got older, it got harder, I think, as I got older as a teenager and in my early 20s to try and get clothes that I felt really fashionable and comfortable in, because I think I'm not really a fashionable person, right? I love clothes and I love makeup and I love jewellery, but it's totally my own, I mean, probably no one else would wear it, you know, but I think it's always been quite important to me to look the best or make myself feel the best I can in terms of my clothing and not to hide away from it. So you're right, probably as a teenager, it was important that I found that little shop, you know, in a back street in Glasgow somewhere that was able, I think they went up to a size 18. So like, I remember being, I wasn't even the biggest size in there, which was like, you know, that in itself was incredible. There was things sometimes mm-hmm. I was trying them on and going, I'll need to put that back, it's just a little bit too big for me, you know. And I never got to say that stuff ever. I remember my auntie, she was amazing. I think I was only like 14 or 15, and all my sisters were getting these lovely things for Christmas, and my aunt bought me these pants. I swear to God, they were like a size 22 at Marks and Spencer's. They had like no elastic in them. They were just like a small one-man tent, because she didn't know what to get me, you know. And her heart was totally in the right place. But, you know, if only I'd directed her to that shop, yeah, she would have known.
Is it still there, I wonder?
No, it's not. It's gone, unfortunately. I mean, it was... Ugh. I mean, when you look back now, I mean, it was probably just awful 90s fashion, but, you know, It helped me get through those early kind of teenage years.
When you're describing yourself and be like, oh, I'm not that fashionable, but then in the chat beforehand, you're telling me about your top and how you cut it up so it had a different shape to it and you customise it. To me, that's, it might not be fashionable, but it's stylish, which is what this whole podcast is about. So did you have a strong sense of style as a kid, or has that come later in life?
I mean, I think I must have had it as a kid, because some of the outfits are really wild and out there, and I don't know what I was thinking at the time. So I must have had the confidence to wear them. Like, my dad used to golf at the weekends, and he had these Pringle polo necks, and they fitted me, and I wore them like with the Pringle on it. And you know, all the other girls are trying to not, you know, show more flesh, and I'm going about with this polo neck on with these like, you know, metallic green lycra leggings that I'd found in the shop. And I've always just tried to accommodate me and what I can feel comfortable in, at the same time feeling that I feel quite fashionable, you know. Like, I love looking at what other people are wearing. I love being nosy. I'll ask folk where they get their clothes from. I'll try and replicate it myself. Like, it all kind of started. I'd seen this dress that I loved and it only went up to a size 16. I think I was a 22 at the time, so I bought two of them. And I basically got my mate, who was a dressmaker, to cut it up the side, and then she put two panels in.
Amazing.
Just to, so that it then went to my size. So that everyone was kind of looking at me thinking, her is she in that dress? It only goes up to a 16. And I'm like, yeah, look at me. Like, clearly not a 16, but I'm in the dress, because I just wasn't going to let that stop me from wearing stuff. But again, I was really lucky that I found an incredible dressmaker, because I didn't have the skills to do that myself. And I just started doing that. Like, if I saw a dress I liked and it was in sale, I would buy two if it was a smaller size, and I would make it, put some sleeves on it, we'd open it, you know, lay it out at the sides and put the panels in and all that kind of stuff. And it was really cheap as chips way to do it, because, you know, it was, rather than trying to go and find something in my size which didn't exist, I just took the dresses that did exist and just tried to make them, you know, work for me.
That is absolutely amazing. There's two things I love about that: how resourceful it is, and also that you're not just taking something that exists and copying it, you're making it your own. So, you know, like you say, you're altering the sleeves and things like that, but also the fact that you weren't internalizing, which so much of us have done, where it's like, that doesn't fit me, I'm wrong, so I don't get to have those nice things. You're like, oh no, I'll just make those things to fit me. That, like, you recognize then that the rules and the parameters are wrong, which is incredible.
Well, that's really nice of you to say that. I think it was just because, I think part of it was that, and part of it, I just didn't want to face up to the fact that if I wanted to get any, I would need to lose weight, you know, and I was just too big. I've always found my weight really challenging, and I've tried really hard in my life, and I've lost lots of weight, and I've gained lots of weight, and I have been every size under the sun. Like, I've been a way down to a 12, I've been a size 28, and, you know, I'm more towards the heavier side. But I think rather than just trying to accept the fact, well, look, because lots of people would take the view, I can't get that dress, so I'm going to slim into that dress, right? I don't know whether that's a healthy attitude or not, but I just said, I want to get into that dress and I want it now, so how can I get into that dress? And I just, you know, but again, I had the help of the fact that I've had the same kind of, you know, seamstress and dressmaker, that someone local here that I've known for such a long time. And because of that, and she had the means to do it, I would just, all the time I'd go, I found these dresses, what can we do with them? And, you know, and just always constantly just customising.
It's so, so cool. So when you were a kid then, who was dressing you? Was it siblings, aunties, you know, parents? Who was it?
So I had, at the time, my uncle was engaged to a girl called Caroline, and they were together for ages, so they're not together now. But Caroline was so stylish. Like, she was, like, super, really slim, and always wore these gorgeous clothes. She was a really great help to me in my kind of teenage years and stuff like that. But again, I just was observing everything, you know, just watching so many different programs on TV and just what other people were wearing in school. And magazines were huge at that point in the kind of mid-90s and stuff like that. And fashion really took a turn, you know, in the 90s. And we look back at it really fondly now, but not at the time, I don't think. It was a bit out there. And I always wanted just to look pretty, and I felt clothes, they gave me that sense of confidence. If I felt good in what I was wearing, then I feel that I could, you know, go out and have fun with my mates and enjoy my life. And I always get a feeling I look in the mirror, and it's not because I ever look in the mirror and think, oh my god, you look amazing, you're gorgeous. I just look in the mirror and I'm thinking, that suits you, you look good, I feel good. It's those kind of feelings you get when you feel lovely, you know, when you're going out. And equally, when something doesn't fit and you're having a meltdown in front of the mirror and you're like, why? This looked nice 2 weeks ago and now I've went and put it on tonight and it's an absolute disaster and I'm having a wardrobe malfunction, you know, or whatever. But I think I've always kind of felt, you know, just trying to, like, observe everything around me and just trying to keep up with everything that was changing.
Well, it's you trying to build yourself, right, and work out what you are in the world and what you want the world to see about you. I think we all go, that's building ourselves up from sort of early teens into probably right through our 20s.
It's like armor, isn't it, your clothes? You know, if you're wearing it and you feel good, you can face whatever, you know, you need to face, the good times, bad times. And it's a shame, but people do judge on what they see in front of them, you know. And you want to let people see that you're confident and that you're happy and all this kind of stuff. And I do get those feelings from clothes. You know, clothes can really make or break how I feel about myself. You know, I know recently, even just like being a mum recently, you know, and again, and just having a wee baby, you know, days and days and days of just like, you know, feeding, nursing bras and all the rest of it, I'm like, I need to get dressed up. I need to like wash my hair. I need to put a brush through it. I need to just put something on that makes me feel, not that I don't love being a mum, I adore being a mum, but there gets to a point where you're like, I need a real good hose down here and just like some nice clothes on. And I'm sorry, it's really disgusting, but I'm like, that's why, how it makes me feel.
And I guess being like a busy working mum in a busy household, I don't have children, but the people around me, the women in particular, their sort of self-care, whatever that is to them, is the quickest thing to slide down the list.
Oh, yeah.
Whether that's, you know, exercise or a bath or this or that. So in your case, like feeling good about yourself and, you know, like that's your way of going, oh, no, I'm going to prioritise myself for a bit. And that's a gorgeous thing.
Yeah, kids go to bed. I get a nice dress on, do my hair. No, I don't go that far. But yeah, no, it's just those rare times, you know, when I'm going back out and I kind of feel... It's funny, it's just, it's how, I mean, not everyone's that into fashion, I get that, or not everyone's that into clothes, or, you know, and but that's how it makes me feel, you know. I always feel like I it lifts my mood, and you know, if I feel comfortable and I feel that I look nice, then it definitely sets me up for the day ahead.
No, I totally agree. I'm the same. Were you ever put in anything as a kid or a teenager, night my clothing, that you hated?
Oh, like, see, when I was doing... No, I don't like to mention it, Papa. Don't look at me. I've only been on like this interview for like, I don't know, a short space of time, and I've managed to mention it. But during that period, it was really challenging to dress me. And every week, he's this lovely big German fashion expert, right? He dressed us every week. And every week I got through, he was standing at the side going, you know, like he just couldn't believe I got through again because he had to find another outfit for me. And he was amazing, right? And I loved him. I think his name was Hans or something like that, which I can't remember, but every week he was just like, oh my god, what are we going to put you in? Because he really struggled. There was only Evans at the time that was really available to him. And he got me this top at a top shop, right? And I think it must have been like a size 14 or something. It was like a kind of chiffon-y caftan thing, but it was like a second skin on me, so he had to cut it up the back. I had to wear a black t-shirt under it, and they had to crocodile clip it up the back. And so the camera couldn't go round, and I just had to stand straight and sing on this stage. And I have never been so uncomfortable in my life. And it was like the Beatles week or something, and I was singing Hey Jude, and I was halfway through the competition. Not that I ever thought in my life I was ever going to win, but I was just enjoying this experience. But I was aware of the fact at that time it was getting out to millions and millions of people, and I was just rigid on that stage, and I just kind of cried the whole way through the song because I was like, I am so uncomfortable and I hate this top and I don't want to be wearing this while I'm singing. But I got to the stage where I was like, I feel their pain. They had like literally nothing to dress me in because we had tried every combo of black skirt with a colourful top and all this kind of stuff. And that really stands out for me. And I remember getting through that week and I just was, honestly, I was in floods of tears. And I think everyone thought I was happy that we got through. And I was like, I don't want to be here because I don't even know what I'm going to wear next week. It's just going to get worse from there on in. And I just started saying, look, can I bring my own clothes in? Can I bring something in rather than you having to go and source me clothes? Because I know how difficult. And it was really difficult for him. You know, he wasn't being horrible. He loved me and I loved him. He was a great big guy. But he was tearing his hair out what to put me in. Because it just, apart from that one shop, you know, there wasn't anything anywhere he could go to each week to get clothes for me. And I just, I remember I should have been so happy that I was going through it another week, but I was just dreading until it got to the final and he physically ran out of things and he made me this black dress thing to wear. I mean, it was horrendous. I don't know how I won, never mind got through with half the gear they had me in, but it was just really challenging. And how things have changed, and that was nearly 20 years ago, but things have, you know, that would never happen now, and isn't that a great thing? No. You know, like You can't go anywhere now without clothes going up to 20, 22 and just in normal standard kind of sections. And that's, you know, there's been real progress made there.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't think we're at the, because it does immediately drop off a cliff at a certain size. If you're a size 30 or over, like you, there's like four places online.
No, there you go. There's a whole set of new challenges there. You're right. You know, I'm saying, oh, isn't it great that they're going up to a 20, 22? But I have been a 24, 26 and I've been a 28 in my life. Absolutely. You know, where do you go? That's really unfair. So you're right. So there is probably still a lot more work to do, but it has moved up slightly. But I remember that time and I was panicking, like proper panicking about what was going to happen the next week because I wasn't in control. It wasn't for me. I didn't have the power at that point in my life to say, well, here's what I want. I was just a contestant. You know, I have to go with what they're... what they're telling me, but it was honestly, it kept me awake at night.
Yeah.
Basically what I was going to wear.
I'm sure. Well, because that's the weird thing is when we're chatting and when I see your dress sense now, it's really femme. It's a bit vintage. There's loads of colour. There's loads of gorgeous textures. But when I think of you from those days, there's loads of black and there's not this sort of like, well, it's just not the Michelle that I have met later on. And does it feel weird looking back at that girl?
Yeah, sometimes I look back and I think it was just a movie I watched and that it didn't happen to me, even though it was the best thing I ever did, right? And it completely changed the course of my life in the most fantastic way. But I do look back and think I would never have chosen one single thing that was on my body. And for somebody who really did care about clothes and love, I was completely powerless in that situation because the decision wasn't down to me. You know, I had to be told where to stand and what to sing and what to wear. And it was difficult. And I don't want to sound, you know, oh, God, look at poor me. I was on this TV show and, oh, you know, I'm moaning. I don't want to moan. It was an amazing experience. But it was really hard each week to go out and do it, knowing that what I was wearing. I was just, like, looking in the mirror and I was thinking, I mean, I loved my makeup. I'd never had my makeup done. That was, like, a revelation, getting my makeup done, you know, and having professional people do my hair and all that thing. But from the neck down, I was just, you know, I felt really ill at points because I just was never happy in anything that was on my body. And they were between a rock and a hard place because they're right. Where do they go?
God, it's I'm so glad that things, like I say, we're not finished, but I'm so glad things have moved on. It's just
they have definitely, there's been progress made, definitely.
God bless ASOS Curve. That's all I can say.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. And you know, and like Shein and all these or all these different places that you can go now. And again, there's like the whole ethical side of that, and I'm like, oh, I want to have sustainable fashion, and I'm more aware of that now as well. You know, I'm recycling a lot of stuff because, you know, as you get older and it's great that we're now talking about the environment and we really care about climate change and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, just how I deal with my own household, like waste and stuff is different from even 5 years ago, you know, in terms of like my food waste, my recycling, my glass, all this kind of stuff. But my clothes are the same, you know, like I don't really want to be buying new stuff. I'm kind of looking at the stuff that I've got to make sure that I can't do something else with it. Or even like my little boys, my sister's passed down stuff to me from them, and now my friend's having a baby and I'm passing on those clothes to them because I'm like, I want to be responsible with my fashion and my clothes and stuff as well, and try and, you know, it's as tempting as it is, you know, just to go on online and order something and it's there the next day and not question where it's come from or who's made it and all that kind of stuff. So I'm trying to get the balance right between both. And resist that urge because it's now so, I think the thing is, when especially with plus size fashion, it's so, I mean, I can't tell you the last time I bought something in a shop. I don't really go shopping in shops unless I'm going to go secondhand and go vintage and stuff like that. Most of the stuff I order is online, and I'm so sure of the places that I order that I know exactly what size I'm going to be because they're that reliable with their sizing. But even then, I mean, the notion of me all those years ago being able to go online and purchase something without even trying it on and having the confidence to say that's going to fit, that's going to arrive, and I know I'm going to get into that. So it makes it really easy to buy online, which is a great thing. But you also end up with a load of stuff that you probably will never wear. And then what do you do with it? Where does it go?
Yeah, it's sometimes I think I stopped using ASOS after the first lockdown because of they weren't treating their workers very well. And I haven't gone back since, even though I used to be on there all the time. And every now and then something will pop up and I'll see it and I'll be really tempted. But because actually I've realised that it was kind of too easy to buy stuff, especially, you know, having the app, you just go through and you'd order a load of stuff and then stuff would still be in the plastic, in my case, you know, months later. And I'm like, this isn't, someone's worked so hard on that. There's even just like the ethics of that and that sat there not doing anything. So yeah, forcing myself. But that's, I had such an unhealthy relationship. And now I've just changed it. I just buy the same amount of stuff, but secondhand.
But, you know, but again, even that difference, that change that you've made, you know, and I've tried myself, like, to do the same as what you're, exactly what you've just described, just to be a bit more aware and a bit more responsible, I think. I mean, of course I still go online and buy stuff, right? I used to go to bed and just, it was like my version of Tinder, you know, I would just be swiping through. That and property sites, by the way, like, my husband's at 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm under the covers and he's like, get off your phone. The light's like blaring. So I'm like putting the brightness up to see if it really is a pink or if it's more purple, you know, or something like that. And it's too easy just to buy.
Anyway,
just try to be a bit more responsible with my fashion.
Is there an item of clothing or an outfit that you put on as a teenager or a kid and you just never wanted to take it off?
Yeah, so I had this outfit and it's still, if I close my eyes, I have tried to find this again and I never will. So it was kind of like maroon coloured trousers, right? And they were kind of stretchy and it was all pinks, but it was deep maroons up to light pinks, floral, completely see-through shirt. And I had this little like vest top under it and it was so beautiful and it was, you know, bellowing in the wind and I could tie it up at the front, I could let it down, I could have it opened over a dress, and it just made me feel, when I had my little maroon trousers on and this shirt, and it just made me feel, I would have been about 15 or 16, and I, you know, the sad thing is I don't have a picture of it, which really kills me because, oh, of course, it was like the 90s and it was your wind-up cameras and stuff like that, but I closed my eyes and it's like right in front of me as clear as day, and I remember wearing it to death. Like, I remember my mum physically saying to me, you're going to your auntie's party, you can't wear that outfit again. And I'm like, I'm wearing that outfit again. Because I just felt so lovely in it. And it was so beautiful on my skin. And again, it was from the shop that I'd mentioned earlier. Honestly, it was the most beautiful thing I ever owned, even to this day. And I have looked for that material. I have looked for something similar. And it was just, I loved it. It was gorgeous.
I'm so sad that there's not a picture in the world that we can all coo over.
Well,
R.I.P. to the beautiful shirt then.
I know.
When you were a teenager, what were the big trends? And were you following them or you were doing your own thing?
So the big trends when I was a teenager was Timberland boots. Everyone had Timberland boots. Everyone had sweater shop jumpers, Bergos jackets, you know, big sovereign gold rings. And I remember, so I'm one of five girls, I'm the oldest, and I remember starting school in the August, everyone had Timberland boots on, the brown kind of sand Timberland boots, and I ran home and I was like, I cannot go back to school, my life is over until I get a pair of Timberland boots. Now at that time I think they were like £100, and my mum said, look Michelle, you've got four younger sisters here, there's not a chance we can afford them, if you're really really good we will try and get you them for Christmas. And honestly, for the months that passed, I did every chore in that house. I worked so hard. My whole world was building up to Christmas morning. And then my dad is a scale mechanic. So he does weights and measures from everything for like little babies that are born right up to massive big weighbridges that the lorries go on. And there's a place in Glasgow, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, it was called the Barras Market. And it was this big, iconic market. You could go down there, like the million Dell boys worked down there, you know, and you could get anything you wanted. And I opened up this box on Christmas morning and I seen it wrapped. It was a huge box, opened it up. And instead of these brown Timberland boots was a pair of black plastic steel toe cap boots with a K, not even a T. And I was like, honestly, my mum's, they still refer to it now as the mother of all meltdown, like the Christmas, because I was just like, oh, my teenage angst, 15 years old, I was like, no, because my dad had been down the Barras Market fixing a set of fruit scales, and they said, oh, you know, I'm trying to work really hard. I was chatting to the guy, my daughter really wants these Timberland boots, and he's like, oh, go and see my pal Joe up in the stall up there. Nobody's wearing Timberlands anymore. It's all about the cat boots, caterpillar boots. My dad's like, well, she did ask him a couple of months ago. Maybe fashion's moved on. He went up and the guy's like, I'll sort you out. I've got cat boots. And of course, he couldn't take them back because the stall had packed up and went. And it was these, I was like, if I wear them to school, cat boots with a K instead of a C and they're plastic steel. I mean, my dad felt so bad.
Bless
my
him.
Poor dad. There's actually a picture of me sitting Christmas Day and I'm just like,
that's so heartbreaking because you had worked so hard. He thought he was doing the right thing. That's when it's so sad, isn't it?
I know, my poor wee daddy. What a brat I was. You know, my mum and dad had like five kids. And I was like, all I cared about was these bloody Timberland boots. But within a couple of weeks, my dad, God love him, had been to see my granda. My granda had bought me the Timberland boots.
Oh, God, you got your boots.
So I got them in the end. And do you know something? After a couple of months, did I care about them? No.
Of course not.
But they got passed down. Let me tell you, every one of my sisters had those Timberland boots on.
Well, I mean, testament to what good boots they are that they could go through five different kids.
Yeah, very absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you have a rebellious phase as a teenager? And if so, would we have seen it in your clothes and your hair and stuff?
100%. So I got to the stage where I was really into the kind of whole gothic look. You know, I think I had about kind of 15, 16... I had went on kind of hunger strike at that point because I felt like my whole my life would be so much better if I lost lots of weight. So I mean, I lost so much weight, and there is a picture exists actually. I'll need to let you see it. And I am like honestly like a size 10, and everything's black. I went through this really weird phase of everything being black, and I remember going to my local hairdresser. So I've always had kind of like curly hair, but I wanted a perm, like proper perm. And I remember we went to the local hairdresser, and she literally put in over like 400 perm rods, I think, in my hair. And it was that old-fashioned way with the perm lotion going on that I don't think she could ever like identify herself with her own fingertips after that, because they'd just been like skinned off. And I had the most incredible perm you have ever seen. I had this perm, and I had like the black eyeliner, you know, as my lipstick. Wow. I just put that on because I couldn't get a black lipstick at the time. And everything was just really gothic. I got some silver glitter, and I used to wear it around the corner of my eye and things like that. And it didn't last very long, but it was just, it was something that I really, really got into.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, but we didn't stop there. We combined soft and bouncy to bring you new Sweet Tarts Gummies Fruity Splits, a uniquely delicious dual-sided gummy with one side that's sweet and one side that's tart, but entirely smooth and squishy. Mmm, a powerfully perfect combo. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine.
Your style, which I feel like is so easy to describe in a great way, it's so clearly you. When did that start showing up? The colours and the textures, and are quite extra. Like, you know, you're not afraid of a big shape or, you know, voluminous materials or something a bit sheer, anything like that. So when did we start seeing that?
I think really that started only a couple of years ago, to be honest. The look that I've got going on just now, because I think it just comes with age. You know, I wear things like jumpsuits and stuff now that I would never in my life have dreamed about wearing. And I think it's because I'm seeing people my size. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm seeing people online, I'm seeing people on social media, and I'm being inspired a lot more. I follow loads of people on Instagram, and they might be much slimmer than me, but I feel that I could probably get away with that look if I get it in my size, or there's people that are bigger than me and I love what they're wearing. So I think it's where the world's at just now has played a big part in how I dress myself, and it's never about being acceptable, right? It's always about being acceptable yourself. It's not, I don't dress for anyone else. I don't dress for other people. I dress for me. But I think it's because there's so much inspiration around me now. And you know, there's a lot of downsides to social media, right? We know that. But there's also a lot of plus sides to it. I've been able to see real representation,
yeah,
you know, of how people look. I can't tell you the amount of times I've saw somebody around. I mean, yourself included, you know, I see pictures of you and I'm just like, oh my God, you know, you had this, it was like a kind of a short, glittery, sequins kind of jumpsuit, I think was. The feathers, and it's almost like you've got wings, you know, and it's just like, it just looks amazing. And then I think, I wonder, how can I get that to look? So I can't wear exactly that because you're so tiny compared to me, right? But how can I wear something similar that will give me the same sort of a look? Mm. And I just try and think about what I can do. So I start off with that inspiration. I can then try and get something that will suit my body and make me feel like that. Does that make sense?
Totally. I do exactly the same thing. I love, like, pervin' at people on Instagram and magpieing ideas and, oh, that would, that top bit wouldn't go, but that top bit I saw in someone else, that shape would work if I did it. It's all that kind of thing. And I feel like Instagram's being a big game changer for me with that, of being able to be inspired.
Definitely, 100%. Like, I don't really have an original thought anymore. It's just like, I just see other people and I'm happy. I'm a complete follower. You know, I wouldn't say I'm a fashion, I mean, definitely not a trendsetter, but, and I also just think, again, I think it's more confidence, and I think it's where we're at in the world in terms of how we view plus size, and just having that freedom just to say, you know, this is my body. I love you. You only get one life, right? And you want to live it your own way. I want to be as healthy as I can. I've got two wee babies. I want to live for them. But I also think I deserve to be happy, and I deserve to wear what I want to wear, not what I think is going to be acceptable, like I did when we spoke about Pop Idol, because that's the way I was expected to dress. Clothing's such a reward, you know, and fashion's such a reward as well. And, you know, we all work really hard, and I kind of feel like I'm probably at a point in my life where I feel like I deserve to wear those clothes, and that I feel confident in them. So that's probably where I am. So that's been a really new thing, I think, in the last couple of years. But again, it comes with age. You know, you spend all your 20s and 30s caring about, you know, VPLs and stuff. And now I'm just like, yep, it's my magic pants. You can see through that. Don't care. You know, Beyonce, you can see a little bit of her short. Who cares? She's wearing Spanx. It doesn't matter. Where would I be without them?
It's interesting what you're saying there about like health and stuff, because like I say, we're similar ages, and a conversation I've been having with two of my sort of childhood friends at the moment, in that I realised on our little WhatsApp group where we chat back and forward, there's quite a lot of like internalised fat phobia about health and things like that that just aren't true. I'm probably healthier than I've ever been, but I'm also bigger than I've ever been. I exercise now, but it's so hard to, I think, with the generation of the media that we grew up with, the media that our parents, our mums in particular, internalised about weight, that like the saddest and most unhealthy I've ever been is when I was slimmer.
Yeah.
Like, and we've got to get it out of our heads that like your dress size is much to do, if anything, to do with your health at that time. But it's so hard to undo,
of course,
isn't it?
Because we've been conditioned our whole lives, because when we were growing up, it was the magazines, you know, when we were reading magazines, it was a case of you had to look this way to be happy. You had to look this way to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whoever your partner wants to be. And if you don't look like these models in the magazine, you don't really deserve the happiness and all this kind of stuff. That was a subliminal messaging that was going on. So it is really hard. And I think you're so right. And I think it's different. You know, I think when I talk about health, it's because, you know, I weigh a certain amount. You know, I'm pushing back up the kind of size 22 and stuff like that. And I think for me, I just want to live a long life for my kids, you know. And you're right, it's not because I feel that because of my certain dress size that means I've got to be genuinely unhealthy. Like, you're out at running or gym or, you know, being really healthy. I probably know I'm not doing that just now, and that's got nothing to do with my size. That's just more to do with the fact that I didn't get my backside in gear. So they are completely separate things. You're right, we shouldn't blur the lines between health and what the label says on your clothing. I think that in itself is unhealthy to do that.
It's hard though, isn't it?
It's hard. Of course it's hard. Of course it's hard. Absolutely. And, you know, even every time a picture appears in me and it's like something like weird, like the Daily Mail online or something, I mean, the comments are lovely, but you'll always get those comments, oh, she's a couple of pies for lunch, and they automatically assume. And that still very much goes hand in hand with people's perception. So it's hard. And then you read that and you pretend that you don't really take it in. And I'm like, oh, I don't read the bad stuff. You totally read the bad stuff. And it does. It goes somewhere, you know, and it sits there in the back of your mind. And I think that comes back to, again, of, do I deserve to feel good in these clothes? Do I feel that? Of course you should. Mm. Of course you should. We know that. But that's a whole other chat and a whole other podcast, really, you know, to go into that. But that's the age we grew up in, you know, and that's what we were told from our magazines and just really from society at that time, you know. But thankfully, again, we can celebrate the fact we're not in that place right now.
Yeah. And that's what I was talking to my friends about, because they're both mothers of girls. That I was like, we're going to stop this chat and try and catch ourselves, because we're not passing it on to our girls. Like, there's
and
just
I think
no
that's
way.
Really important. I do. I think, you know, especially all the other stuff they've got to contain me now, just being online in general, you know, and just being kids in this day and age. We want to break that cycle, don't we? We want to break that chain and not pass that on.
Do you think of hair and makeup as part of your outfit? I sense that you do.
100%. Because I can try something on and I know it's not going to look like that once my hair and makeup are done. 100%. all about. I mean, I wear less makeup now than I've ever worn in my life. Like, I wear no makeup at all when I'm not working. I don't even do my eyebrows, and trust me, that's a big thing. Like, they are wildly out of control. And even when I do makeup now, I wear things that are like barely there, foundation and, you know, a little bit of bronze, and I love the kind of chinny stuff, you know, that you can just put on your cheeks and on your lips and stuff like that, one little like glass jar or something. Whereas when I was much younger and probably didn't need half the makeup that I wore, I mean, I caked it on. I mean, I still love, you know, when I'm doing something like big and glitzy, you know, going and get my makeup done and it's like eyelashes out to here, contour, and, you know, I look like a completely different human being. But I kind of like my face, you know, and it's like, yeah, it's chubby and I've got a couple of chins and stuff like that, but I like my face just now. I've got my lines and it's like, I know where they've all come from and, you know.
Your skin is gorgeous. Oh, no. You're like glowing. It's unbelievable.
Not at all. You're so lovely. But I like my face now. You know, I don't, people are always like that to me, you know, do you think you would get your teeth done or your face done? And I'm like, oh, geez, oh, the list of things, man. My face is one of the last ones on there. But it's not because I would never do it, and I certainly don't judge anyone for, you know, getting anything done. You live your best life, man. You do whatever you need to do. But I'd still obviously still wear makeup, but it has changed over the years, but it's 100% part of the outfit, definitely.
Interesting. Is there, because you've got quite a vintage, I think, sort of like theme going through your fashion, is there an era that you wish you existed in just for the fashion?
Oh, I mean, I love 50s. Do you know I mean? Who wouldn't? You know, everything's just pulled in at the waist and that kind of, that whole look and corsets and stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, I love the 50s. I love the pointy bras, the dress that pinch at the waist and come out. And, you know, it was probably a nightmare for women in the 50s, let's be honest, having to get up and get all that gear on. But it looked fantastic, and I kind of think with my body shape, I would have probably pulled it off. I mean, like 60s and 70s hot pants and stuff, never, I would never have survived in that era. So maybe, yeah, 50s or Victorian, completely covered up with a bustle. I do like a bustle.
And also, I always think of your makeup being quite vintagey. It's, you know, like a red lip, and you do some beautiful, I've seen you with like victory curls and things like that. It is even now we're chatting, you've got like a bow in your hair, like it's quite vintage inspired, isn't it?
Yeah, I kind of like that old, especially with my hair. I went through such a phase, kind of just being every color under the sun. I had it really short, I've had it kind of shaved underneath and all that kind of stuff, and now I do wear it kind of long with that kind of wave, you know, that kind of 50s wave with kind of, yeah, rolled up at the front and stuff, and I quite like it.
Really suits you. Can I ask what item of clothing you've got that you put on and you just instantly feel amazing in?
I've got a really lovely jade green kind of sequin sparkly dress. It's just to the knee. I always wear it with like tights or leggings. It's a winter thing for if I'm hosting, but it's a really nice cut and it's stretchy. And I always feel when I put it on, especially because of the red hair just now with the green, I always feel kind of quite special in it.
Is it like a dark green?
Yeah, it's like a kind of emerald. It's a real, and it really does sparkle because of the sequins. So it's a proper deep, lovely green.
I have got so into green, and I think if you get a good green on an outfit, and especially a sequin, you can't beat it. If it's a strong green, it's such a it's more striking than like red or gold, I think.
I did something really wild a couple of weeks ago, right? I bought a jumpsuit, which I never, ever, ever wear. And it was from like the two range at Sainsbury's or something, right? It was lovely. And it was a size 22, but it had that kind of lovely stretchy back, you know, that lets you away with murder. So even if you weren't going to fit in it, you are going to fit in it because it stretched out like an accordion. And it was this lovely kind of slightly darker than a baby blue with kind of big white spots on it. Right, so it's quite 80s inspired. And I had bought myself these lovely green flat sandals, and I had these really lovely green sunglasses. And I was like, I don't know if blue and green should ever be seen. But then I had this lemon cardigan, which I'm actually wearing just now. And I have found this old necklace. I mean, it must be 15, 20 years old, right? Really, honestly, like early 2000s. And it's literally, it's like glass looking, it's loads of beads, and it's like blues, yellows, greens and whatever, and I put it all together, and for some reason it was like I looked like a kids TV presenter. It was an explosion of primary colours, right? But the amount of compliments I got, but it all started because I had these green sandals, and I've really recently, like you, got into green again, and I don't know if I would have had the confidence to put all those colours together. I mean, it was a pretty mental look, right? But I loved it. And because I think I just went for it and carried it off, people were like, oh my God, you know, that's, you look amazing. And I'm like, really? But it was just because it was just an explosion of like all these kind of really strong primary colours. And then I kind of thought, you know, probably everything goes to everything if you can just have the confidence to pull it off.
And I love it when you have, like you say, an item that's been knocking around for ages and you put it on and you're like, I knew there was a reason I hung on to you and now is your time to shine because you're pulling everything together.
I never part, which is a nightmare for storage in the house, but I don't part with a lot because it always comes round again.
Absolutely. And that's like, you're enabling my hoarding with that because I don't get rid of stuff. And like, I remember when I was about 20, I bought these white Chelsea boots with a very low sort of heel at Topshop, and then I never had a chance to wear them even though I loved them. I wore them once or twice, and then do you remember like maybe a year and a half ago, white boots, especially Chelsea boots, came back in, and I just wore them all winter and they go with everything. And I was like, and everyone's like, where did you get your boots? And I was like, I bought them over a decade ago and I've been waiting for them to have their moment, and they finally have.
I love that. I love that.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Thinking about the future now, Michelle, your style now, which is like really colourful, there's loads of texture in there. It's really like, and I don't mean this in a way that implies that you should do this, but like, unapologetic, you have your style, and that is, you know, you love prints, and there's no walking into a room and looking like you're sorry to be there. You are like, you are entering a room with an entrance with your clothes. Do you think that will always stay, or do you see it toning down or evolving or getting even bigger as you get older?
I think it will probably always stay, and I think it's because it's almost like a suit of armour, not because anything bad is happening to me, it's just because I feel very protected underneath those colours, because those colours are out there. And my hair, I mean, I literally on my life, I'd on this white dress from Marks and Spencer's. I was going to a fourth birthday party, because that's my life now, okay? I was going to a fourth birthday party on Sunday with my little boy and my husband and my wee baby. A beautiful day up here in Scotland, which doesn't happen very often, and I had on a white, it was almost kind of like a cheesclothy kind of material, like, and it was all layered down, this white standard kind of summer dress, and I'd got this little, it was still a little bit chilly, so I had this little short white cardigan on, and it had big kind of like cherries, so it was all knitted, so two big cherries with the big green kind of leaves all down it, and I had, you know, the big red lips and the green sunglasses, that kind of thing. And I needed to go in and buy a birthday card, and I ran into Tesco, and I was going as fast as my, you know, legs could carry me. And this woman came out, she's elderly, and she went, oh! And she stopped and she went, oh my God, you wouldn't get hit by a bus, look at you! And I mean, she was meaning it by as a compliment, because I was just this big woman in this white flowing dress with this cardigan with these huge big knitted cherries and the big green sunglasses and the big red lips and the hair all done. And I took it as a, you know, as a massive compliment, but that's kind of the look, that's the phase I'm in just now, and I think I can't really, I mean, who knows when I get older, but I quite like it because it allows me to be underneath, and there's, I can be quiet underneath, you know, because my clothes are out there and my hair's out there, and I think I'm probably at a point in my life, like, having been in the job that I'm doing for like almost 20 years now, I'm kind of at a point in my life where I love my job. Of course I love my job and I want to keep working, but I want to keep working for my kids now. Like, I really don't care about being famous or people knowing who I am or anything like that. I have no desire or hunger. I just want to earn enough money just so that I can be a mummy and have my family life. But of course I need to work to do that. So I'm in a phase now, I went through such a long period in my life and I was like, I'm Michelle McManus and I won Pop Idol and yes, what do you want to talk to me about? To the phase that I'm at in my life now where I'm like, I'm in my 40s and I'm a mummy and I kind of want to be more quiet and I think, but I still want to look good when I go out. But you know, people aren't looking at me going, oh my God, she's put on loads of weight. All they just see is this colour coming at them and the fact that I'm well turned out, and they translate that as being, oh my God, you look amazing, you look great. And it hides from the fact I'm probably a good 2-3 stone heavier than I've been in a long time. So I do like it. There's a lot of benefits to it, but there's a lot of, you know, there's a reason behind it probably, if I was to be really honest.
That's so interesting, because also it's interesting in how you're expressing it as well, that you're going, that to you, like so many of us, looking good means taking up less space. And the fact that you aren't doing that physically, and you certainly aren't doing it how you dress yourself, and the response is, you're amazing, and like the a celebration that there is so much to take in and so much of you, is a beautiful thing. And isn't it interesting that we exist in a fat phobic society, we just do, that's a fact, we know that. But day-to-day people, and not that they can't be fat phobic and don't have it internalized against themselves, but like, they're not looking at you and seeing like a fat person. They're looking at you and seeing someone who looks absolutely amazing. And it's so interesting what we're carrying about ourselves into that conversation. And it's really interesting that you're choosing the clothes will have the conversation for you. And then you, Michelle, can pick and choose what part of that you take part in. It's really fascinating.
I know, and I hope I don't come across as somebody who's like, you know, I don't want to be an arsehole. I don't want to come across like that, because I really don't. But, you know, you're right, they don't look at, and maybe that's a lovely thing in society, but you know, most day-to-day people I meet don't really look at me for my weight. I don't think, you know, I get judged in other places for that. But yeah, I tend to find when I'm, you know, all dolled up and, or what I would consider all dolled up and feeling good in my bright colours, because I'm just colourful and I've made an effort, that kind of thing. But I also think now, and I know I'm not old, but see, in my 40s, I don't really need to follow trends anymore. Like, it's not like I'm in my 20s and I'm going out clubbing and I'm looking to meet someone, or I'm just out there anyway and I want to feel good, you know. I don't, like, I can walk about for like a good half day with baby vomit on me and not really care, because I'm like, I'll get changed later, because it's probably going to happen again later, so it doesn't matter. So I think from that point of view, that ship has sailed. And of course I always want to look nice and good, but I don't feel I'm a slave to trends, you know, maybe that I would have been in my 20s. Like, I would have really cared if I wasn't wearing the latest kind of, or copying the latest kind of fashion, not never designer, but just that kind of whole look that was going on. So maybe I feel like at this age it doesn't really affect me as much. I mean, I'd love to tell you I'm cool enough, Kay, that I even know what trends are happening now, but I have no idea.
I know what you're saying, but I think that it's just a sign also of a stylish person who doesn't need to know what's going on, because they just know their own body, they know the shapes, they know the colours. It's quite the opposite. It's someone who is stylish above trendy, and it's stylish people I want to talk to on this podcast.
Aw, thank you.
Final question now, and it might seem a bit of a sad one, but it's meant to be celebratory. So I want to just, I'll cut to the chase. What outfit would you want to be buried in?
Probably my wedding dress. Is that really creepy?
Love that. Your wedding dress is stunning. No, it's gorgeous.
Is that a bit Great Expectations? No, I love my wedding dress. I loved it. I loved every part of it, because I bought that wedding dress from a beautiful boutique and basically took it apart and put it back together again. So I bought the dress and I had measured up at that time in a wedding dress size at a 26. And I'd said to the girl, I was like, please don't order a 26. I won't be a 26. She went, oh, I know, everyone says they're going to lose weight. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm like, this dress was fully fitted under the bust and it had a huge amount of diamante detail, and then it flowed. I was like, it's not going over my hips, it's not going over my thighs. I was like, I think a 26 is going to drown me, to be honest with you. So I took it to my dressmaker And I was like, I want sleeves put on it. And I'd tried to buy all this kind of material to go underneath, and it just didn't match with the dress. And my dressmaker said, I'm going to take the underskirt, one of the three underskirts underneath. So that was the exact shade. She unpicked every diamond, every crystal that was on it. She put whale bones in it to make it really corseted. She took so much material out of it. So it was all pulled in, and I had this lovely kind of really, you know, tight uplift bust kind of look with the Diamante. And she made these kind of big, this kind of cape for me that came off the back with it. And it was just, it was a beautiful dress to start with, but it was a one-off, totally transformed for me. We got extra kind of Diamante kind of applique kind of stuff, and it went all around the kind of cuff, and it was a complete one-off. And I think because of that, and because I had such a lovely time where we got married up in the Highlands and stuff, and I'll never get to wear it again. So I'm like, I mean, I won't know when I'm dead that I'm wearing it, but you know, I'm like, I would quite like to get it on again. Is that really more? I've really thought about that. I'm really sorry.
No, it's perfect. I'm looking at pictures of while you were chatting. I was googling, because I remember seeing you and thinking you look amazing. But oh my god, that is absolutely incredible. It's so beautiful, and the shape is amazing. And you're so right. You've had something completely made for you, working with a dressmaker that you trust. That is. Yeah, definitely get buried in that.
Oh, everything just fit. You know, everything was lovely. Nothing was uncomfortable. I wasn't at the end of the day going, oh my God, I need to get out of this. I didn't want to get out yet, which is a relief to my husband, because I don't think he even had a clue where to start. After, I don't know how many whiskies and pints he'd had. He's like, yeah, you sleep in that, love. Yeah, go for it. Because we didn't even know where to start getting me out yet. Shows you're exciting wedding night. But, you know, it was just this most beautiful, gorgeous dress. I loved it.
Oh, Michelle McManus there. You know, you can see photos of Michelle in her wedding dress and other outfits that we discuss here on our Instagram, which is at whoyouwearingpod. Do you know what I keep thinking of from our chat? Imagine performing live on TV in front of actually millions of people, just clicked into an outfit and feeling nothing like yourself. Like, what an experience to like weather as a young woman. I mean, thank Christ, we have more than Evans's now. I don't know, I'm really lucky I've got to do stuff on TV. It's obviously a massive privilege. But there's just this element, especially with social media, you are really aware of what you're wearing, how you might look, you know, your hair, your makeup, what you look like from different angles, all that kind of stuff. So you try and put yourself in things, and you try and wear things, and you try and have your hair and makeup done so you feel amazing. And one of the main reasons is so you're perfectly comfortable, so you can perform to the best of your ability in what is quite a high pressure situation. And that's without doing it live. I really think it's testament to not just Michelle's talent, but her character that she still won that competition, even though she would have been standing there 4 weeks hating what she's wearing and not feeling like herself. Like, what a legend, what an absolute warrior. Also, Michelle continues to add evidence to my everybody who is well-dressed now was a teenage goth theory. Another one for me. Yes, please. Now, each week I use this chat with a stylish guest as a sort of springboard to bang on about an indie business that has caught my eye, that I really love. I thought I'd chat about House Dahlia. So that's H-A-U-S. D-A-H-L-I-A. There's a gap between those two words. Now, this is a UK-based small business that specialises in, oh my gosh, the most beautiful size-inclusive clothing. And it's made from end-of-roll fabrics and sustainable fabrics, where they can basically guarantee that production standards and the rights of the workers are overseen. So not just like buying blindly, where we don't know if those people have been looked after who made the clothes. So all the fabric comes from London. And the fastenings and all those little bits are collected from local haberdasheries. There's a really lovely bit on the website where Emma, the designer, says, I just jump on the bus to go and get them. So it's like super, super sustainable as much as any kind of fashion can be. It's all made by hand by Emma, the designer. As she says, her cat Toast overseas. Love that. Very important. Do you know why it made me think of Michelle when I was browsing the beautiful clothes? They're so well made. and there's incredible corsetry in so much of it, and it combines that sort of Victoriana structured look but with those jewel tones that Michelle loves, that green that we're both in love with. So it's like really strong shapes, but there's also really delicate prints in there and really soft fabrics, which is gorgeous. Honestly, go and have a look and just drool over their Instagram like I did. And obviously when you make a garment, fabric scraps are created. But House Stylia works alongside a company called Fire Lab. I've only just heard of them. And they take fabrics and offcuts and they turn it into stuffings for homeware. And even they found a way of making paper out of it. And as of 2023, all the scraps and offcuts from House Stylia items of clothing were recycled. Isn't that incredible? So like zero waste product there. What an amazing achievement. So please go and check out House Stylia. I'm just going to jump on. So you can find the handle. Oh God, Nana here on Instagram. The handle is, oh yeah, House_Stylia_London. That's on Instagram. Go and have a little perv, please, at their amazing stuff. Now, if you want to get in touch with the podcast with your clothing tales, recommendations of guests, small businesses, love to hear about that stuff, or you just want to share your thoughts on an episode, I would love to hear from you. You can email whoyouwearingpod@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Insta at whoyouwearingpod. That's when you get to see all those beautiful pictures and have a chat with us. I'm going to be back next week with another indie business, another fantastic guest. Oh my gosh, it's a powerhouse woman. I genuinely laughed so much on this episode. She's not even a comedian. She's so funny and so full of joy and like, oh, you're going to come away all fired up after this chat. It is a gorgeous conversation with beauty mogul and journalist extraordinaire Atta Jewel. See you next week.
Who Are You Wearing is produced by Joe Southard. The artwork is by Mary Phillips and the music is by Annie Glass. This has been a Little Wonder production.